In a few minutes, part of a primer on Trumponomics. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, when the Commerce Department reported this week that the cost of goods went up 2% in America over the last year, that is an affirmation that inflation is bang on target, right where policymakers want it. Marketplace's Ben Bradford explains why 2% is the Federal Reserve's magic number.
Too much inflation and people don't trust their money's value or make long-term investments. Too little and you risk deflation when the economy slows. Also bad. But why 2%?
It's arbitrary in a sense.
Economist Jared Bernstein with the Liberal Center for Budget and Policy Priorities says the right level is debatable to a degree.
I wouldn't want to set it at 10% or 6%, so it's not that arbitrary.
He says the Fed's aim is for people not to notice their currency devaluing. Since the recession, the inflation rate has stayed lower than 2% until this latest federal measure, which suggests it hit that number exactly. University of Chicago economist Anil Kashyap says it's not time to celebrate.
They're looking for sustained trends.
He says that's why the Fed is slowly ratcheting up interest rates to sustain this trend in coming years.
You know, like Wayne Gretzky used to say, if you want to pass to where the teammate's going to be, they're worried about making sure inflation in the future is on track.
By cooling down a heated economy, not too much, just enough. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
We keep an eye on markets here. The 100 share index in London is up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.2% range. A benchmark for interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield is up at 3.11%. In Britain today, the Conservative government says it's moving ahead with the plan to raise more money by taxing big internet companies. Within 2 years, Google, Alphabet, Facebook, and other companies could be paying higher taxes for their activities within the United Kingdom. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is here to help us with some distinctions. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, David.
If a British person goes online to buy a toaster, the consumer will pay a kind of sales tax, value-added tax. But on that transaction, Google doesn't necessarily, if it makes money off of it, wouldn't necessarily pay any tax. This is an attempt by the UK to grab some of that revenue?
So, yes, the idea is to get at revenues rather than the traditional way of taxing companies, which is to focus on their profits, because multinational companies, especially the tech companies, have been very effective at arranging their business in such a way that their profits are attributed to subsidiaries located in places where they pay the minimum, sometimes no tax at all.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Sign up for our daily e-newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 Marketplace treat bags filled with some great swag, including the coffee mug that I helped design. I thought it was a great line. They listened to me. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck. What is Trumponomics, and how is it distinct from Bushonomics, Reaganomics, or conservative orthodoxy in general? One person who's offered advice on this topic to President Trump face-to-face is Stephen Moore, a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, the conservative think tank. Along with economist Arthur Laffer, seen as the father of Reagan-style supply-side economics, Moore has just come out with a new book with Trumponomics in the title. We start with the tax overhaul and its effects, including government spending outrunning money brought in, with the federal deficit up 17% in the accounting year just ended. Stephen Moore, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you.
Many worry that Republicans have gone soft on deficits in the quest to cut taxes. Are you going soft on deficits?
If you don't get the economy growing faster than 1.5% to 2%, so you're not going to bring down the trade deficit. You're not going to get new jobs. Get businesses growing. And a lot of these other problems are much easier to solve.
But that's the answer to people who are particularly focused on the deficit is give it some time. The added growth will bring it down.
Yep. Look, Trump has given us a lot higher growth already. Now, look, Republicans have done a terrible job at controlling spending. And I'm the first one to point the fingers at Republicans for that and Democrats.
You don't think the president should be leaning on those Republicans a little harder on this?
Well, yeah, I think he should have vetoed some of those spending bills. Trump takes a lot of criticism from conservatives for not talking about Medicare and Social Security, which, as you know, is a big part of the
budget.
Cutting
the so-called entitlement programs.
My feeling is one of the reasons Donald Trump won the election is precisely because he said he wasn't going to cut Social Security and Medicare.
So, I mean, when you step back from this, though, I mean, is the Trump administration everything you'd hoped for when you threw in your lot with Donald Trump during the campaign? Is it A-OK in all ways?
Yeah, look, I mean, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. We've got the strongest economy in 30 years, and I think it took the tax cuts and getting the government off of the backs of business.
On the tax cut, I mean, it certainly cheered up the stock market. But I just saw before you came in a new survey from the National Association for Business Economics. And this is what they asked. Has your firm adjusted plans for hiring or investments as a result of the Tax Cut and Job Act? A majority said no. 81% said no. We haven't changed the amount of hiring or investment. That must worry you now that I share that info.
Our biggest goal in this tax cut was to get businesses to invest in America again. We saw a big boost in consumer spending in the last GDP report. And I look at that and they say, how can people say middle class isn't doing better? They feel like they've got more money in their pocket if they're going out and spending.
Stephen Moore, co-author of Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. We also talk about another defining part of this, trade. Moore still regards President Trump as a free trader at heart. If you missed that part of our interview on the air, it'll soon be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. The U.S. Treasury announced yesterday it plans to borrow about $1.3 trillion this year, the highest since 2010, when the government was spending extra to get out of the Great Recession. Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Janaki Mehta, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.